from the vault. High atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Talking Catholic. It's Carrie Janice here, and I'm with my good friend, Mike Walsh. Hi.
Okay, we've spent some limited amount of time together in the last couple of weeks. I actually saw you more at a confirmation this weekend than I saw you pretty much for the entirety of 2024 so far.
Which is amazing. Like, what better place to see each other than being confirmation sponsors with wonderful confirmandi that we were sponsoring.
That actually was a treat.
It's a gift.
Me.
Yeah.
I will tell you that I genuinely was like, hey, it's Carrie, when we went to the Tuesday night rehearsal.
I had no idea.
I was like, hey, look at that.
I know. Yeah. I didn't either.
It's a little more shocking when people see me that, because I've never been invited to be a
sponsor. Was that your first time?
That was my first time being a sponsor.
Congrats. I'm really proud of you. That's great. And a great person. She's a great girl.
My goddaughter, Olivia, is fantastic. Her mom is one of my best friends. And it was so sweet when they asked me, and I was genuinely touched. I really was. It was really nice.
I felt the same when I was asked too. And actually, I mean, it's a little more common, like godparent. I've seen that a lot of times. I've been my godchild sponsor as well, and like for the person I sponsored, it was like total surprise. Like,
really?
I did not expect it at all, and I was just so pleasantly surprised and happy and honored. And it was a great day. Besides the crazy rain, it was a great day.
That was monsoon level rain, but it was nice. It was also, I got to surprise the bishop because I didn't tell him I was going to be there. So when he got up to the altar and turned around and was in front of his chair, he looks at me and he could see him literally get taken aback by the fact that I was in the front row. And then his pre-secretary, Father Nevitt, didn't know I was going to be there. There, at one point, I see him lean over, like, "What are you doing here?" But it was great. And Bishop Sullivan gave a truly astonishing confirmation homily.
I love it. Actually, when I was there, I've been a sponsor many times, honored to be a sponsor many times, and I've had Bishop for the last 10 years, doing the confirmations, and heard multiple various homilies. But the one thing I will say, and that I've heard over and over again, is how personal it feels, how much the parents were like, I did not expect it to be like that. It's the bishop. And how like pleasantly surprised they are to hear his message. But it's really just in the delivery. Like, he treats the confirmandi, obviously, with dignity and wonderful, but at the same time, like, makes it fun, and funny. And so the parents are like, oh, this is kind of hilarious, calling these kids up and getting them all nervous. But then he, like, speaks to them on their level at the same time. It's really a beautiful blend of, speaking to the confirmandi and the parents and the sponsors all in one package.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed it a lot. And I was thinking, oh, man, this could very well be the last confirmation I'm with Bishop. And I wonder who the next bishop will be and if he'll do just such a great job, because he always, Bishop Sullivan, great job, always.
You know, it's funny. So I get to spend a lot of time with Bishop Sullivan, and he is definitely a New Yorker. And he's got some of that.
That's why I like him so much. Because I'm from North Jersey, so it's like my kind of people.
Yes, to that. But when he's in the office or when we're in a meeting, that is not his delivery.
It's gonna be so different, right?
Yeah, he's very kind of staccato and very definitive, and not a ton of humor. I mean, don't get me wrong, he tells jokes, but not like he's not overly humorous. But if you ever needed, because I know him like that, if I wasn't sure that the Holy Spirit existed, watching his homilies would be the thing that would make me believe. Because when he gets behind that ambo, and when he's got the mic on him, he's walking around, he turns into a completely different priest.
It's pastorally.
It really is.
The shepherd.
It really is. And it's beautiful to watch. And to this day, and I will go to my grave saying this, he gives the best homilies I have ever heard in my entire life. And in this gig, I hear a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the best.
He is a good homilist. And the one thing I will say, talking about sacraments here, is I've been president for several ordinations that he's done. And the one thing he will say both to the diaconate, the candidates for the diaconate and the becoming deacons, and those at priestly ordinations, is to take time and have a good homily.
Yeah.
And you could see that he does that in his homilies. I always think about that when I hear a homily from Bishop Sullivan, because I saw him the week before, St. Bridget's, for the Black History Month Mass. And he's back there again next week. So it's like a three week in a row with Bishop Sullivan, which is kind of fun.
Wait, he's back there again next week?
Confirmations for St.
Bridget's. Oh, right. Of course, I forgot. Yeah. I heard about that.
There's a lot. But so hearing all his different homilies and all, I always think, well, he charges the men after ordination to do a good job. And I am one, I'm a really firm believer as someone who's been in, you know, ministry for 17 years now, is that I don't ever ask the people that I'm with to do anything that I won't do myself, whether that be service, whether that be, you know, whatever, standing out there in front of the abortion clinic and praying, you know, whatever it might be. I don't say, you go and do it. You know, I'm just telling you what to do. I do it with them. You know, I think that's really important. And I that's Bishop Sullivan. Like, I love that, seeing that model in our own bishop, is that he tells them to do a good job in the homily, but he himself, you could tell he puts time, effort, and especially prayer into his homilies. And thank you, Bishop Sullivan. You do a good job.
Well, he's unique, and you said it because he's so pastoral, and that's because he was a pastor for so long. He was a pastor for most of his priesthood, and he took a lot of pride in that, and he will tell people.
Not the best neighborhoods either, not the difficult circumstances.
I mean, he was there basically at ground zero on 9/11, you know? I mean, it's an incredible story. So you were talking about some of the homilies he's given. I will tell you that my favorite homily to see every year is the Chrism Mass one.
Soon.
Yeah,
March 26th.
Have you ever been to a Chrism Mass?
Multiple times, yes. And I'll be there this year as well.
So that's the one where he basically is
He reams into the priest.
He lays into the priest.
Yes, and for a good reason.
In a fatherly way.
But
tells him, listen, you know, if you are not doing these things, you are a bad priest. You are a bad pastor if you are not caring for your flock in these ways. And I don't love it. I mean, it's not like Schadenfreude. I'm not enjoying watching him.
No.
But it's not really tearing into him. He's reminding them of the importance of their priesthood and their vocation.
In his very Bronx-like way.
I can't say it necessarily speaks to the word pastoral, but it definitely speaks to the way fraternal.
Yeah.
So he's very much one of their brothers and fraternal correction and stuff like that. And we have great priests in the diocese.
No.
You know, they need to hear this, but it's opportunity.
It's a good reminder, though, you know.
Because
we have to remember that Mass is traditionally supposed to be on Holy Thursday, which is the priest's, you know, the institution of the priesthood. But dioceses are allowed to move it because, obviously, Holy Thursday is a big day in the parish life, and that's big Mass at night, so it's hard to do everything.
It's mostly because the diocese is so big. It is entirely too difficult to drive all the way up into a central location and then have the priests go back and do their Holy Thursday Masses. Mm-hmm. So they do it on Tuesday instead.
Right.
And he's... Bishop Sullivan, I know this is a Bishop Sullivan love fest right now, but he is also very wise in that he wants all the priests there so they have a big priest dinner afterwards with, I think, an open bar. So he makes sure that everybody shows up.
Reason for more vocations, everyone.
Hey, listen, you're getting one free meal and one free drink.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Throughout your year. But anyway, so it's a great event. But yeah, you and I have seen each other a couple of times. I saw you in passing at Deacon Sam Soto's birthday.
I know, only in the vineyard here we see each other.
Actually, I got to hang out with your husband more than I know.
That
you.
Was a fun night. Yeah.
That was a fun night.
His 60th birthday. Yep.
Yeah. And then we saw each other briefly, I think, at the Black Catholic Ministry one.
Yeah.
That was another great event at St. Bridget's. So it's been a lot of ships in the night between the two of us.
That's what we do, working for the church.
That's right.
Some mass, some party, we just see each other and
I feel bad for the listeners though. They haven't heard you for like 5 weeks.
I know. Hi everybody, I'm back. Just tell Mike to just tell him to have me on more. Well, I would love to be on more.
You can listen. You know the rule. You can come on as much as you want. But you got to come up with the idea.
I know. I'm going to be completely transparent with all you guys. I literally text him like, I miss hosting Talking Catholic. How about this idea?
And came up with a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy we're here. And obviously we're back in your home turf at Newman Center, Rowan University, and we have a couple of your students
all
with us
peeps,
and a few students from Stockton University
and the cousin peeps. I guess we could call them
cousin peeps. I like that. That's nice. Our cousins.
Seems about right.
Our cousins from Galloway. That's nice. Well, let's introduce everybody.
Yeah. Sure. We're talking about our favorite topic, which is Newman Houses and the campus ministry, and highlighting some of the things that we have coming up for sure. So we'll start with our other campus minister from Stockton.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brittany Shields. I'm the campus minister at Stockton University.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the long drive up. I know it's not a short drive.
Actually, I'm closer to here than I am.
Oh, that's right. You live nearby. I forgot. That's
welcome.
Right. That's right. I forgot. This is nearer for you.
But they came from far.
And whom did you bring with you?
So this is my president, Andrew.
Hi, my name is Andrew Simoes. I'm the president.
I think I need you to turn your mic on.
Oh, right, one more
there
time.
You go.
All right, there we go. Hi, everyone. My name is Andrew Simoes. I'm the president of the Newman Club at Stockton University.
Welcome, Andrew.
And here's my vice president.
Hi, my name is Gabriel Zapor. I'm the vice president of Newman Club, and I'm from, I grew up in Township, New Jersey. So it's a 20-minute little walk to Stockton, pretty much.
Are you a commuter?
Yes, I am a commuter. Yeah. We're both commuters.
Oh, okay, great.
Nice. And in what level are you? What grade are you?
Oh, so we're both juniors.
Excellent.
So
okay.
All right.
And from your home base,
yes.
Gary, who do we have with us?
All right.
Hello, everyone. My name is Max Medica, and I am the vice president of the Rowan Newman House and also the leader of the men's ministry here. And I am a junior in college, and I live in Gibbstown, New Jersey, which, like Gabe said, is like a 20-minute walk, I guess, for Rowan.
Yeah.
Just not Stockton.
Going up 322.
It's your girl, Katarina Henry, back and talking Catholic. I don't know what I did right to be back, but I'm glad that I'm here.
We love repeat guests.
Yes, yes, we do.
Answering the call.
Oh, of course. Always, always, always got the ringer on. But I run our women's ministry here at Rowan Catholic, as well as our pro-life ministry. So glad to be back. Thanks for having me back, Mike.
Kat, yeah. Is this your second or third appearance?
So this is my second appearance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, oh,
feels
you know
like
what it is?
Forever.
I know what it is. It's you. She also appeared on your video.
She did.
Cast.
So she's in the Talking Catholic realm three times.
Yeah. Which actually,
I'm in demand.
Yeah.
You, very much so. Yeah. Although,
give
actually,
her own show, Mike. That's what she's trying to say.
You know, I should have brought this up in the intro. We should mourn the fact that.
Stop.
You're
stop.
After how many seasons? Eight seasons.
Six for Youth Ministry Insights. Two for Young Adult Ministry Insights.
You have finally.
I took a break.
Oh, well, we're not saying you're called. From being a video host.
I took a break. We'll see what happens.
I put her on TikTok and she decided she didn't want to do it.
Whatever the Lord wants. Yeah. Well, okay. 51 episodes, I think, of Youth Ministry Insights, and then 16 or something.
And hey, let's give you a little bit of credit before we go back to the students, because I really did mean to bring this up earlier. How many views did one of your videos get? The one on Icebreakers?
I don't even know. It was
I believe it's over 35,000
something
views,
like that. Yeah.
So well done there. So.
The funny thing is that I'll come in sometimes from wherever, coming in for work or whatever, and the students are already here and they're watching them on the TV, and I'm like, get me off of the screen, like, why do you have me on there? Like, oh,
because they love you so much. That's why.
So but no, I mean, yeah, I think that's a really searched topic, icebreakers.
It is.
I probably should just do a whole series on them at this point.
You probably could,
and that would have a lot of like views maybe. So I might, maybe I will, maybe I'll do that. But I'm just praying about, I just needed a little rest. It was getting a lot. It's in the semester. In the summer, I'm really free and I can film a lot more, which is good. I need to, you know what? I need to get back into the awards, because I had a good run for like two awards and then that was it. So that's motivation to get back into it too.
I'm trying to think if I submitted any of yours this year. I have to look into it.
Yeah.
No, I might have. You never know. But it's a long story. Anyway, let's talk about who we have here with us
today. Yeah, so it's exciting to be here. You know, Mike asks us to always come up with ideas. My brain is always going, but it's always easy to talk about the work I do, but in a special way, you know, we want to highlight the work that both of the campus ministries are doing in the diocese. And there's also Rutgers Campus Ministry. They don't have a particular Newman House, so we're highlighting the Newman Houses themselves. And then additionally, some of the outreach to high school students that we are coming up on this spring, because I think it's really important to talk about, especially, you know, you might be listening to this and thinking, oh, I don't know what to do in college, but maybe in high school, juniors, seniors that are considering going to college at Stockton or Rowan or other Newman Houses. So I'd like to first just share a little bit, and maybe Brittany can help me with this if she has anything to add, about what Newman Houses are, because I know I didn't know what it was going into college myself. And there's a lot of probably listeners out there who aren't aware of what they are. So they're named after St. Cardinal John Henry Newman, and spelled N-E-W-M-A-N, so not St. John Newman, or also pronounced Neumann over in Philadelphia. Different saint. That was one thing that I didn't know. When I was in college, I thought it was the same person. Then I realized, oh, no, wait, they're spelled differently. So two different saints. St. John Newman was an Anglican convert, so to the faith, and died in the late 1800s, I think it was, or early 1900s. Might have been like 1890s. In any event, they're named after him, and there's over 800 in the United States at different colleges. They could be Catholic, they could be Christian, they could be public, just as Stockton and Rowan are. And they serve the students in the Catholic faith, but they're really open to anybody that wants to come seeking and desiring faith in the Lord during their college years. And we're really blessed in our diocese to have two facilities that are funded pretty much primarily through the South Jersey Catholic Ministries Appeal.
Nicely done. We just renamed that to everybody. It used to be the House of Charity Bishops Annual Appeal. Correct. And we're slowly getting that branding out there of the new title.
Correct.
So good job.
So I just want to first take a minute and thank anybody who has donated in the past to that, and anybody that will be donating during this appeal, this 2024 appeal that has just rolled out this past few months, because that's primarily what fund these houses. And ours is particularly a house here at Rowan, and Stockton's a little bit different.
Yeah, ours is a little different. It is a center. So we're across the street from the soccer fields from the Stockton University. So we're a little off campus, but we're at a really beautiful spot in the woods. And so it's a very prayerful, peaceful place to come and visit and to stay. We have our own chapel, and we do our mass on campus, not on campus, but at our center as well. So we have our own altar and everything. So it's a really beautiful center, and we've done a lot to fix it up and make it even more welcoming to everyone.
Yeah, yeah, I've been there multiple times. It's a beautiful center, and we call ours a house. So ours is really, it's a gutted rancher house, which we used to have mass here, but that changed a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And being a university parish, we have it right down the street at St. Bridget's University Parish. So we're considered a university parish, and Newman Center kind of one as part of the parish family, versus Stockton is kind of like a standalone, like, with their masses and everything that takes place there.
Although we are trying to reach out more and more to local churches that are in the area, mm-hmm. and get more connected with them, so that way we have branch out to more support as well, for not only for our students, but like we said, we're also working to integrate more of the high school students as they graduate and different things like that, and hopefully do that through some of the local communities as well, reach out to them.
Although you're right, you are in a lovely house here, mm-hmm. off the campus in Glassboro, but you do have the Eucharist present here. You do have a small chapel,
right?
Yes,
we're very unique where we are blessed and allowed to have a chapel in the house with the Blessed Sacrament present.
So you have a couple of kneelers and some chairs,
yep.
and the tabernacle.
Yeah, so that chapel was only about 4 years old at this point, maybe even 3.5. It was slightly before I got here, and it was made and blessed by Bishop Sullivan. He came here, I understand, to bless it, and it was the garage, and it's converted into, I mean, you would never know it looking into it, at a picture of it, that it was a garage, but it's beautiful floors, an altar, no masses can be said there, or said there, I should say, but there is the Blessed Sacrament there, and we do have adoration once a week there, and we pray the rosary daily there as well, and private prayer, it's always open for private prayer. So yes, we do have a chapel here, which is very, which just makes it distinct. And I will say something as a Catholic, and who's worked in the church for many years, I worked in an office in the church building, the church office building. It was separate from the church at my previous job, and even at when I worked at St. Bridget's in youth ministry, I was in the parish center. And there's something about walking into your job and knowing that Jesus is in the house. Mm-hmm. There's a peace about it. Now, there, Jesus was right next door in the church where I worked, right next door, the next building over. But there's something about walking into the house, and I know our students can say the same, feel the same about that.
Yeah, no, it's honestly such a blessing. Like, that's kind of my favorite part, is that you walk in and, you know, everybody makes a point to just go walk in and say hi to Jesus, whether it's, you know, take a 5 minutes for private prayer when you walk in the house, or even a simple genuflect. I mean, I can't even begin to describe, even just like having the Blessed Sacrament, I think, in the house, and the culture that breeds from that is just, it's so special, you know, because you could have a Newman Center, and that's wonderful. That's awesome, right? Newman Center's rock. But to have the Eucharist there and just everybody knowing that it's there, it just feels so comforting. You know, it's like coming home and your family's there, your dad, you know, your protector and someone who loves you very much. And just being able to say, you know, thank you every day for every blessing that you have is really just so, so beautiful. Such a pleasure. Yeah, such a blessing, honestly.
Actually, it was nice when we pulled up today. You know, you and I met each other in the driveway, and I'm carrying a big heavy bag. But the first thing you did after you saw me, said hello to me, and then you knelt in front of the mm-hmm. building, because the Holy Eucharist was there. Mm-hmm. So it's appropriate to do what you did. And that was so beautiful.
I will say thank you, Mike. I learned that from our students. Like, they started to do that coming and going from the driveway. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. Like, I made it a point when I started working here that the first thing I do is go into the chapel, say hello, Jesus. And the last thing I do is usually I either leave out that door or I open the chapel door and say, you know, thank you to the Lord and then leave. So I've done it in the house. But I started to see the students outside the house, like when they first come up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense. So sure. I just got into habit. And there's something about ministry, and I know, Brittany, you could probably speak to this too. It's like this positive peer pressure, as I call it, positive peer pressure. So you, one sees one doing, they all start doing it. And like, it just has become now part of our regular routine for our students. And I think this year especially, our students have really taken note to the Lord being present in the house. And when we come in, they say hello to him. And then when we leave, we have a closing prayer for the night that we all pray together as a group before we all leave and close down for the night. And some other ways too, like we've, anybody in the house that when we say the rosary daily, they have to come in for the first decade. So like, we're really like pushing more and more and more as faithful as we can get to recognize that the Lord is in the house. And Brittany, you have Jesus in your
house.
Yes,
we do. We have a chapel as well. Yeah. It's a beautiful chapel. It's been there since the beginning of the building was built. So we're trying to make it more available to the students right now because our center is off campus. But what I've noticed too, what you said about the peer pressure, you know, the of, you know, holy peer pressure, I've noticed a huge increase in confession in our students. So many of our students, the Father offers confession a few minutes before Mass. And we have now students, you know, it just seemed like one was going every week, and now we have students, you know, four or five who, like,
beautiful,
one are looking for Father. And at our retreat, actually, we had so many students who wanted confession that we had to stay, you know, after our adoration time just to hear confessions. Father was in there for a very long time just hearing confessions. Almost every student went to confession. It was just a beautiful, beautiful sight. So it is something that they definitely, like, you know, we can only do so much as ministers, but it's the right students that see each other and see the actions of each other and then help each other grow in that.
Actually, we should probably note that. So you're associated with St. Bridget's University Parish.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the pastor here, Father John Rossi, comes over.
He's our chaplain, yes.
With great regularity.
Yes, every Wednesday you can find him here. And then many of our students attend daily Mass, so we get to see him regularly. And then our weekend Masses are all student Masses as well as parish Masses, so our students are involved in them, so they see him very regularly.
And Brittany, who's your...
Yes, and Father Wren is our chaplain. He's from St. Catharines in Egg Harbor Township. Okay. So he's part-time at the parish and part-time with us, but he's really dedicated, a super loving, wonderful priest, has a great singing voice whenever we do...
Wow.
Whenever we do karaoke nights, outshines everyone.
That's great.
But no, he's really sweet. And what's wonderful about him is he's always fixing the building up and always trying to make things as nice as he can. He's brought he put up a whole Stations of the Cross in our church. And he brought over, you know, pictures that weren't being used from his old parish that had been shut down. And he's really making the church like so much more reverent and beautiful, and he's just so dedicated to that. So really appreciate all the work he does.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful to hear.
So I would like to hear from some of our students a little bit, right? So thank you guys for joining here. So
my first question is,
yeah, go ahead.
And if this is for all four of you, and from my left to my right, I'd like to hear this answer. What drew you to, you know, your Newman Center, your Newman House?
Well, I was fortunate enough I went to Catholic high school. I went to, my home diocese is the Diocese of Trenton. So, I went to Red Bank Catholic High School up in Red Bank. So I was fortunate enough, I had sisters from the Sisters of Mercy up there. So they kind of introduced me to the, of Newman. They told me what it was. And I was like, wow, that was really interesting. And I always heard the horror stories of, like, you know, people going to college and like losing their faith. And I was like, well, I don't want this to happen to me because like faith is such like a huge part of my life. So I was like, how can I keep this faith and be others around it? So I did some digging of my own, and then I went through our school's like club registry. So we call it Osprey Hub. And I found Newman, and I emailed our campus minister at the time, Allie. And then this was the summer before I even started on Newman. And then I went to that first Mass, and which was Labor Day weekend, and the rest is really history. So I was fortunate enough to already have that kind of seed planted in my mind of that this is an avenue for me to continue my faith.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so for me, I was like pretty much like recruited for Newman Club already from our previous campus priest, Father Philip. He really like inspired me. Like, I know he was like always pushing me, like, you know, he's like, you know, you need to join Newman Club, you know, like, and I was like, I wasn't hesitant at first, but I kind of wanted to give it a try because, like, you know, why not? And I didn't go to a on-campus like Mass just yet, but the first meeting, like Andrew, like, you know, I met Andrew there, you know, and now all my friends that are now like my e-board, mm-hmm. you know, it's pretty much really just a blessing in disguise. Just like everyone there just gave me such a like fullness to really like be confident talking about my faith. And just overall, just be like more open, because compared to like my freshman year as mm-hmm. a junior now, it's like I'm so like involved in so much that like I shout out Newman Club as a representative, not because I'm vice president, but also just like I'm very passionate about it. So yeah, no, I just like, you know, and also I'm Filipino, so it's like Christianity just runs
That's
through.
That's right.
It just runs through.
Catholicism,
so.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
The like, Philippines is like 99% Catholic.
Yeah, I owe it to my mom. She's yeah. like, she pushes me and my brother, especially just her whole family, just to do, like, get us involved, anything, like, religiously. So, you know, I give my props to my mama. So.
That's great.
I'll be honest with you. I have grown to love the Filipino community in my time in the diocese.
I love them and their food.
Yes, absolutely their food.
That's right.
That's true, but the dedication of the Filipinos in South Jersey has been nothing short of truly awe-inspiring.
Yes.
So if you've never had an opportunity, listeners, to avail yourselves of, you know, enjoying the cultural uniqueness of the Filipino community, if there's ever a Filipino event going on in your church, or your parish, your diocese, your region, check it out. Because A, great food. B, you want to see some folks who truly love their faith go to a Filipino event. It's amazing.
And it really, like, my parents are also, like, part of a group called the Ministry Families of Christ. So that little couples, like, Filipino group that's very, like, it's very, like, you know, in the United States, like, it's, like, a big organization. It used to be called Couples for Christ was their old branding. So, you know, my parents actually have been members since around like 2015. So they've been going strong, and that's where, like, you know, also me being in like music was like what kept me going too.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh wow, great.
Yeah, me and Andrew are always there with our
shout out
our friend Jonah.
Yep.
Every Sunday. So yeah.
That's great. So you do the music for Mass.
Yes.
Phenomenal. What do you play?
So I actually sing for Mass. I do the psalm every Sunday when I can, because I always kind of share the load with like a lot of us, because our music ministry actually grew.
Yes.
Shout out our boy Justin. Yes, because I also serve at St. Catherine Drexel in Edgarwood Township.
Were you part of the youth group there with Millett?
Yeah. Millett was also a good, like, you know, really big influence too. I was part of like a little bit of the like core team. Kind of stepped away because like all so much stuff was happening. But I did attend like
retreat.
NCYC. Mm-hmm. I think that's what also kind of like kickstarted the journey too. So
yeah, anybody who missed our episode with Millett Locasal a couple of months ago,
back in November,
go back and check it out, because she's great, and their youth group is phenomenal.
Yep.
So how about you, Kat?
So I wasn't as lucky as Andrew. Like, growing up, I went to CCD, but didn't go to Mass on Sundays, and I can't even say we were CEO Catholics. Like, we would wake up Christmas morning and just, you know, not even go to Mass, and very like nominally Catholic. But it actually wasn't until my childhood best friend, shout out Jimmy Sharkey, but he came to me one day. He's like, I'm converting to Catholicism. I'm getting my sacraments. And I was like, dude, what? I was like, it was a total left field kind of comment. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, like, you know, I just transferred, you know, to Rowan, because he went to GW first, and he transferred to Rowan and got his sacraments. And he was like, I was coming to the Newman Center. And I was like, dude, what even is that? Right? Like, I had no idea what a Newman Center was. And it wasn't until that he's like, you got to come. It's so awesome. And I was like, I don't know about that. Maybe. And I was dating this kid at the time who was also Catholic. And so starting to get back into my faith, and now I'm leading two ministries. I'm on e-board. I'm doing service, and it's so beautiful that I've only been here. This is my second year, and I'm just all in. And I've met some of my greatest friends, and this house has done so much for me spiritually. It's like a place where, you know, they don't ask anything of you when you come in. You know, they're not like storming you at the door, like, where's your baptismal certificate? No, they're like, they meet you where they're at, and you're like, come as you are. But you can't expect to ever stay as you are, because you're going to walk out of here changed. And right above the door, we actually have a sign. It just says, "Let's go be saints." And we truly do live that. And I think it's so beautiful, even in just casual conversation with classmates. And I'm like, "Hey, like, come to Newman. Hey, come to Newman." And reaching out to like high school students and being like, "No, this is like a place where they're going to love you." Like, and I don't mean like love you like because of what you can do for them. They love you just because that's how Christ, you know, that's one of God's, you know, greatest commandments is to love each other as I've loved you. And that's so beautiful. And it's truly lived in a Newman Center. So that's kind of my Newman story. Yeah.
I love the passion. Not all of your people are passionate. Both of you. Go ahead.
All right. So I would say, honestly, my story, all of it is very similar to Kat's. I also grew up as like a nominal Catholic. My family only went to church on Christmas Eve, and I think around the age 10 we just stopped going. And I remember at that moment, that was like one of the most happiest moments of my life, you know. I could just spend the weekend playing video games and everything like that. And so looking back, honestly, I'm like, wow, that was like one of the worst things I ever said in my life. But anyways, so I pretty much just went through the average public school life until around my junior year of high school, where out of nowhere I just started praying the rosary. You know, someone told me to pray one day. Actually, it was my brother, who I considered a mentor. And once he told me to do that, it honestly just changed my life, you know? Like, I think, honestly, our Lord used the one thing that will, like, get me in, hook, line, and sinker, which was the rosary. And by Our Lady's intercession, I'm here right now. And so I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I was honestly, like, alone in my faith for a while, you know, because there's really, like, no practicing Catholics in a public school. I was like, okay, I guess I'll just be a lone wolf maybe forever, because I never even knew that, like, practicing Catholics my age would even exist. And so I was pretty much just alone for about the first two semesters of college. And so around the spring of my freshman year, honestly, almost like 2 years ago today, probably, I was in the need for confession. And I was like looking at my laptop for like confessions near me. And I saw that like there will be a priest at the Newman House on a Wednesday night. I was like, okay, I'll go. But then it turns out actually that that night was a night where there was a huge surprise for the old campus minister, Rebecca's fiance, to propose to her. And so I was there with that. And I was like so confused, because I did my confession and I got my penance and I went into the chapel to pray, and I looked to my left, there's just this one guy standing there, which was Rebecca's fiance, waiting for her to come in to propose.
That is funny.
I'm like, what the heck's going on right now? And so I saw the whole proposal, it was great, but I was like, I don't really want to be here. So
yeah,
I left.
Right.
And it wasn't until that fall where I was at this random church near my house and I was looking in the bulletin and I saw a big Newman ad, and then it hit me. You know, like when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you know it's God and you can't ignore it. And it was like one of those moments. And I was like, crap, I don't want to go back. I really don't, Lord. You know, but I did. And honestly, it changed my life forever. Really. Like, I honestly, I think, found friends, God willing, I will have until, like you said earlier, I'm in the grave.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I'm just so grateful. And I never even, like, figured I would be the vice president, you know, and leading the men's ministry to help men be like the best saints they can be for our Lord.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy how like just a little inspiration can like just completely change your life. And so for everyone listening right now, if you feel like God's inspiring you to do something, even if it's like very insignificant, like do it, because honestly it could change your life.
All right.
So that's my Newman story.
I'm gonna be honest with you, of all these stories, the things that I've taken away from this the mostly is that I didn't know Rebecca got engaged here.
I didn't know that either. I just heard that for the first time, and I've known Rebecca for
yeah, I know Rebecca's
like
been on this
years.
Podcast.
Yeah.
I follow her on social media. Yeah. I had no idea that this was where the
I didn't know either.
So thank you for that. Yeah. I appreciate that little piece, that little nugget filled in.
Yeah.
Anyway,
now we
very
all know.
Interesting night.
Yeah, I can imagine that, and that I would have had the same reaction and be like, okay, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, that'd be.
I am not
fun.
A member of this group, but the thing that's really kind of amazed me in all your stories is actually how welcoming it is here. I mean, you know, I follow both of the groups on social media, and I'm always impressed by the number of people who are here. I mean, your Wednesday night events, and there's no other way to refer to it as other than an event. You got food.
Newman night, we call it.
You can call it Newman night, but it's an event.
It's a to-do.
It is a to-do. There is a ton of food here, and then there's just kids lying around all over the floors, sitting here for a presentation. So we're recording this a little early in March. So your most recent one was actually our good friend.
We love her.
We love her. My fellow, our fellow co-host from Talking Saints, Lori Powell. Bauer was here giving her presentation on consecrated virginity.
Living in the world, right?
And so I actually saw her and asked her a few days later how it was, and she said it was a great reception. I was kind of curious to see how the kids were going to, I was like, were you recruiting? Like, how is it a little early for that?
I don't know.
And plus, half of them were guys.
Planting seeds.
Well, that's the thing. That's what she said.
I might have to break up with my boyfriend now. That's how good that college was.
But that's it. You bring I'm going to assume it's both of you. You guys bring in such great presentations.
Yeah, I think that's really key part of it. I'm a Newman alumni from Rowan. I was part of this ministry when I was in college here. And some of the key truths and teachings of the church were spoken by guest speakers. Like, I can remember some. Actually, one of the doctors that I ended up seeing for a good chunk of my life, because he was a Catholic doctor, I first met giving a presentation at Newman on, like, the ethics and morals of, like, being a Catholic doctor, you know? And so I remembered him, and I sought him out, right? So I think those are the some things that we do, is, like, give them a little bit of everything from these wonderful, mostly people within our diocese that are, you know, different vocations and different ways they're living in the world, or professions and different things they're doing, but through the lens of the Catholic faith, and then sharing that with our students and allowing them to grow through that. And I think that's really important. And then some of them we do in-house, like Father Rossi and I have done several of the Newman Nights as well on different topics of faith or things like that. So I think that's really important. And I know Stockton runs theirs very similarly.
Yeah, our Newman Nights are on Thursday nights, and we do some on campus and at our center. So we also have different guest speakers, and we do different socials with them as well. So we were also blessed to have a lot of guest speakers come to our retreat as well. But we also have an interesting events where on campus our students run the meetings, and so they're in charge of coming up with the discussion, and they're in charge of coming up with the topics. So we're actually starting our series on heaven, hell, and purgatory. They decided that they're going to present on those topics. So it's a time where they get to dive in and really explore a topic and then share about it that they're interested in.
That's fascinating.
So that's and they wanted to do it in time for finals week, is when we're doing hell.
Oh, nice.
It's very ironic.
You're living it.
Yes, that was 100% intentional.
Well, we're kind of a similar structure in that, in the sense that Father Rossi and I plan the Wednesday nights for our students, and then all of our ministries are student-led for the topics weekly. So Kat, for instance, has women's ministry tonight, and her topic was every week it comes up by her, and the same for Max with his Thursday night men's group, our Bible study leaders. So I think there's a certain sense. I think one of the things that we forgot to mention early on, we're referencing Newman Club and Rowan Catholic Campus Ministry, is that we are SGA chartered clubs on our campus. So we're recognized by the greater campus in the sense of through the SGA organizations. And we used to be Newman Club here. It changed some years ago, over 10 years ago, to Catholic Campus Ministry. Just for whatever reason, they decided to do that at that point. It was Newman Club when I was here. I like calling it Newman Club. I like hearing it Newman Club, but we don't ever refer to it here anymore as Newman Club.
We try to mix it up a little bit. So we'll call it Newman Club amongst the club, but then also sometimes when we're reaching out to the greater campus, we do call it Catholic Campus Ministry only because that's
they don't know what Newman Club is.
We get a few looks when we say Newman Club.
I think they changed it here is to be more recognizable, understand what it is, because what does it make you a new man? Like, we don't know what that means.
People get that all the time. So
yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
So we definitely, when we're reaching out to the greater campus, we go Catholic Campus Ministry, but then we try to keep with the Newman Nights and Newman Club.
Yeah, I think that's so important. But we were talking a little bit about how people got here and all of that, and I think it's really, you know, important to share that we do a lot of outreach to the high school students, do a lot of outreach to our greater area. Like, hearing that you saw that, Max, and the Bolton just warms my heart.
That's wonderful,
because I put that out there, like, I send it to the diocese to put in the Boltons, and you hope that they do. And many parishes do. I'm really thankful for that. And so then hear that your parish took the time to put it into the bulletin and it reached somebody. And we had several people that said, like, you know, I heard you speak at my parish on this, and I heard you at my high school. And I think that's really important for that outreach. And Brittany, this was a little bit of your idea, the open houses last year, for us to start that. And
Important to reach the high schoolers and to start prepping them, because I know a lot of them don't really know when they go to college, that there is support out there, mm-hmm. that they can find Catholic support and they can find Catholic community. So I just wanted to make sure to reach them even before they came onto campus, that they heard about us, heard what we were doing, and that there is support, Catholic support on campus, no matter what college you go to. Even if it isn't a Newman House, there's probably some kind of young adult group or some kind of Catholic organization within, you know, your diocese. So I just thought that that was really important for us, mm-hmm. to reach them even before they got on campus, so that way, just the more you spread the word, you know, the more, sure. you can reach people and the more hearts you can touch. So I thought that was important.
You know, it's interesting. So my son's in a sophomore right now in high school, and a friend of mine was recommending that, because we're not taking vacation this year for a variety of reasons, but they said
college tours.
They said do college tours, like make that your vacation, right. where you, like, you know, take a week and go around and like hit all the places he wants to go. And because of the amount of time I spend here now, I'm now actively looking to see, like, mm-hmm. these universities that he's interested in, do they have Newman clubs?
Right.
Because I'd like him to at least have the opportunity, mm-hmm. to go. Because, you know, you and my wife were both members of Rowan's, different time periods, but she talks about it all the time, about how it was able, how mm-hmm. being here was able to keep her focused on her faith. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that it's incredibly useful,
yeah,
because it so easily gets swayed away.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. You know? It's very, very true. I mean, I always heard it said, like, college is the devil's playground. It really is, because students are really just trying to find their own way, and there's so many temptations. And so to have a safe space, you know, for the students to come to and learn about their faith at the same time, be in good company, have social events, have fellowship, have time to hang out, have places where they can be when they don't, you know, want to be on campus. It really just makes a difference in each of the students' lives, and to different degrees. You know, we have ones that are here every single day of the week because this is where they like to be. We have others that check in on Wednesday nights with our Newman Nights, others that are just part of women's ministry because they really like just being around the other ladies. So I know that it's, you know, it's, you can have it to varying degrees. And then we have students that just come to Mass on Sundays, and we hope that they would come here on Wednesdays, but they never, yeah. made that changeover. You know, they just stay and go to Mass, which is good. That's the most important thing, mm-hmm. that they could do that week. But so, you know, it offers something for everybody to whatever degree they want to be involved in, and I think that's really important that at least we offer something.
I've thought about crashing your Monday morning bagels.
Come
post thing.
You could have came today. We cleaned the cemetery instead of going to get bagels. That would have been a good one to come to. You could have helped us clean. Which is an important aspect. Service.
It is.
Service is another thing that we all do.
So is burying the dead. So,
yes,
you know,
that's true.
That's a nice pairing between the two of them. Are there any presentations you've wanted to have and haven't had the opportunity to have yet? Were there anything that you were, like, would you, a guest speaker that you'd like? I know, everybody wants Father Mike Schmidt. Everybody wants this. Mm-hmm. Other than the obvious ones, were there any, like, topics that you haven't touched on yet that you'd really like to hit?
I think part of it is even... just kind of watching your friends change and grow in holiness, I think, is like the coolest thing, mm-hmm. that happens, you know, personally, because, you know, Max, when I first met him, it was like, oh, it's like this, like, you know, more like chill, like quiet dude. Now he's like, mm-hmm. the most on fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like bringing his men's group. They're like rocking in the rain, just praying and so hardcore and just so beautiful to see that change. But I think, like, coming into it is like they make it super accessible, which I think is like really, really cool. It's like it's not even just welcoming, it's just like we want you here and we actively try to like get you to come. And even like, you know, watching our other friends, you know, seeing people, those people that just come to Mass, and how every single little person comes and sees, oh, I see this person going to Mass and they never come to Newman Night, and like sprinting out of the vestibule to like grab them and be like, come to Newman Night.
Well, we don't grab them.
No, we're not grabbing them. No, but you know, just being like, you know, hey, like you should really come, like there's
invite.
Food. But I think like what I would really love to see is like evangelization, like how can we best do that? Because I feel like that's probably one of the most important things that we can do, right? Mm-hmm. Is because, you know, people don't know that we're here, or they don't even know sometimes how to talk to people about it without being like, yeah, crazy Jesus people. You know, we don't want to be like that. We want to make it accessible, because I think that's the best part, right? Is just mm-hmm. being like, oh, this is so out of reach, so out of touch, I can't relate with anybody. But I think being as raw as possible, but being able to connect with people, I think is something I'd really like to see happen.
Actually, that's a great topic, is how to be an evangelizer.
Yeah.
That's because it's not, it for some people, it's very difficult.
Sure, yeah.
Me being one of them.
We started something last semester with driveway evangelization because we're right here. We have our own space. And we have a lot of students pass by here because it's a traffic flow right here. So we did it last semester, and we're going to do one this semester where we're out in the drive sharing about who we are. We had a hot chocolate in the winter time. We're going to have lemonade or something in the spring.
Oh, and, nice.
You know, give it out for free so everyone likes something for free, and then like share a little bit about who we are. And one of the things that we offered to that was just prayer intentions, and people really took to writing down prayer intentions. And then we really did pray for each and every individual one that was written on our board. Mm-hmm. And I think just even letting people know like there's an outlet for faith, like maybe they don't need us right now, but when they in that time comes, they know who we are and where we are out, where we're located.
I agree.
We've covered so much in our meetings. We've covered everything from the history of why we're Newman, the life of Saint John Henry Newman. We talked about vocations. We've talked about black saints. We've talked about, what else have we talked about?
Retreat, which is like, oh my, like when I went on a tangent about that, it was like also like a meeting where like there was like tons of new people, like we didn't even like ever seen these people before. Mm-hmm. And then like the way that I'm so passionate about it, because one thing, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back for, is just like the way I
we support that, go ahead.
yeah
like it's just like, you know, promoting just like adoration for retreat is
adoration,
like,
has is these like, we, these past them, few retreats have been very, like, very powerful.
Like I tell them, I'm like, you know, it's gonna suck because it's gonna be the best thing in the world right after, because like, you know, everybody in that room this past retreat was like, there was a lot of them, like Brittany mentioned like earlier, that, you know, that they stayed for a long time. We had a lot of like first time, like people going to confession. Yeah. Like I feel like this one, like compared to like, you know, our like spring one was.
Yeah. Adoration was, we always tell people when you go on retreat, there's the time before adoration and then there's time after adoration. Cause like we always say, like you just, the whole retreat takes on a whole different meaning and you're truly a changed person. Like Gabe can test this. I was bawling my eyes out at adoration. It was the music. There was just this one line in the music and that was, I was already feeling it. Then there was one line.
Shout out Jeffrey Shields.
Yes. There was just this one line and that just broke me. Here come the waterworks.
Wait, that's not fair. You're bringing Jeff Shields to do the music. That's going to, crush everybody.
It's his sister. That's what I'm saying,
Brittany's, that's cheap.
It was that one
Jeff
thing.
Shields,
and then it was
shout
just
out to Jeff Shields for doing, for he is my brother. He does Forgotten Truth Ministry. He does music for the diocese.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's been on the podcast at least twice, and did our live music the one time when we had our live show.
That was fun.
Along with the Shields family, as I recall. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. Yeah,
we've had a history of a lot of Shields members. Yep. We had Brittany's younger sister
join
our last spring retreat, which was nice. We didn't even know that was Brittany's sister.
We did not know that was Brittany's sister.
But we're really fortunate. Yeah. And to also have had Jeffrey like ever since our freshman year. Yeah, no, he's the best.
I mean, that's what we really try to.
Before I worked there, Jeffrey was doing
music. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we try to like show our new members. Like, there's these powerful moments that you can have. And like, back as we're on the top of our powerful moments, like that adoration, particularly, was extremely powerful for me because, and Brittany and Gabe know this, I've made the decision to enter seminary this coming fall to become a priest with my home diocese.
Diocese of Trenton?
Yes.
Congratulations.
So that was that even. I was telling Father this afterwards, that I've never been more sure about a decision in my life. And then after that adoration, I've never been more sure about my decision to enter seminary than after that adoration.
And we've been like, you know, all of our friends, we've been like very like supportive of Andrew. That's, we always joke around, you know, Father Drew.
Father Ren too. Father Ren gets, Father Ren puts his jokes in too. So.
But yeah, no, yeah.
All right, wait a second. Hold on. This is now two of the Newman people who have been sent to the, or been called into seminary in the Diocese of Trenton. Don't you guys have, didn't you guys have a guy
that,
one of our former Newman guys from 2 years ago.
All right.
Brian,
It's time for the Diocese of Trenton to start paying up.
Yeah, well,
is what I'm saying.
We might have some Camden guys coming in too. You know, okay.
Well, no, that's good too. Yeah. But
one of our alumni, who's actually the current pastor of my old high school parish, that I was able to reconnect with him at an alumni event at my old high school. He was actually went to Newman, and he was the president of Newman at Stockton too. So
what's his name?
Father Rick Osborne.
Oh, great.
So we were able to reconnect with. We were talking about that.
With
as
Trenton,
well.
You think about Trenton; it's in the center of the state, so like students are going to want to like go to Stockton and Rowan because it's like kind of close. So I don't know. I'm just trying to make up excuses why we're getting Trenton guys.
I'm trying to think about getting how we get Bishop O'Connell to start funding some of our stuff if we're going to send him priests all the time. All right. But I love the power of Newman House that you're able to cultivate, mm-hmm. Vocations here. Mm-hmm. And you have a track record. You yourself have a track record of cultivating vocations. So it's like another apparatus, you know?
Yeah.
So, Brittany, congratulations for getting on that
have
train.
Have you been officially accepted to the propedeutic year?
I'm in the process of all of that. Okay. So I'm in actually the process of finding a pastor willing to sponsor me.
Okay.
I thought my parish priest would be able to, but for some reason he can't. So I'm currently in the process of tracking down my old high school chaplain.
Okay.
But he's kind of been moved around all over diocese because he mentioned, because I was discerning this has been 8 years now in the
mm-hmm,
making.
Mm-hmm.
I started discerning this in high school after my round of severe sickness. I won't get into that because that's a long story.
Another podcast, another day.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Location stories.
Sure. But so this was a while in the making. So he used to always tell me, when you come time, when you make your decision, I'll mm-hmm. be willing to sponsor you. So I'm currently in the process of tracking him down for
that. So exciting.
I also like want to graduate college first because
you're a senior this year?
I'm a junior, so,
okay, so you have
next
one more year.
May.
Okay.
Yes.
Exciting. Very exciting.
That's very exciting. Yeah, yeah. Good. Keep up the good work.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
We only have a few minutes left, and I really want to talk about our open houses.
Yeah, no, by all means.
That are coming up.
And where people can learn more about them.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's really important. So as Brittany and I mentioned a little earlier in the podcast, we try to do outreach to our local Catholic high schools in the Diocese of Camden and anywhere else that invites us in to do those talks. We've run retreats, but most importantly, we like to open our doors too to share with high school juniors and seniors who would be interested in potentially seeking out Stockton or Rowan in application to go to that college or university, and additionally, if they're Catholic, to see what the Newman Houses have to offer. So both of us have set up intentional meetings for them to be centered around an open house. And so ours is April 3rd at Rowan University's Newman House. And it's one of our regular Newman nights. So it's going to be dinner at 6 like normal, and then our meeting at 7. But only it's open to any junior seniors that want to come in and be a part of this meeting and just see what a regular Newman night looks like, what other college students around looks like, and let them partake in this meeting and just get the feel of it, and then be able to have a question and answer time with our students, especially our eBoard members. You know a lot about the ministry, about what does the campus ministry offer them as high school juniors and seniors. So that's April 3rd. At One Redmond Ave at the Newman House at Rowan University, and we invite all prospective students to come, high school students to come that are juniors or seniors, to check us out.
Yes, and ours is very similar setup, but ours is on Sunday, April 14th. We're having our Mass on Sunday at 6 p.m., and then afterwards we'll invite all the students and their families to join us for dinner and social time afterwards. We're having a spaghetti dinner, and our current students will be sharing a little bit about their stories, their testimonies about their time, not only at Stockton, but also as part of the Newman House. So we invite any juniors or seniors in high school to come and join us. It'll be at our Campus Ministry Center in Galloway. You can find out more information on our website or also on our Instagram as well.
What's your website and your Instagram?
Our website is you just look up Catholic Campus Ministry in Galloway, it will come up. And then our Instagram is Catholic Campus Ministry.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm part of the Instagram. It's just under Stockton Newman Club. Yeah,
Stockton.
Yeah, and Rowan is Rowan Catholic on Instagram. And then our website is the St. Bridget University Parish website. So it's STBridget, BRIDGET, UP for University Parish. So STBRIDGET.org. And if you click students, that's our whole section, our whole detailed list of everything that we do and where you can get more information. We're also on Facebook under St. Bridget University Parish as well. So we do a lot of social media posts, and you can check all that out there.
You guys do a lot of social media posts, but you guys do it beautifully and it's wonderful. And I learn stuff about my own parish by following you. So it's very useful. And you know, just to go back to those open houses, you did mention did you tell me that you had parents and like grandparents show up because they wanted some more info.
I would encourage more of the high schoolers to attend, but if you are a parent or grandparent and you want to find some more information out, we ain't going to turn you away. Definitely come and check it out and then share with your child or grandchild what we have. But, you know, we're really looking for those students to really be a part of that. And we'll have some giveaways too. So come April 3rd and April 14th.
Well, thank you all for joining us today. We really appreciate that. Carrie, thank you for coming back on the podcast as host. I hope it won't be such a long break next time. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you again next week. See you, everybody.
God bless.